to say that this resurrection morning, nearly 2,000 years ago, was like any other morning would be 180 degrees removed from the truth. It was a day of utter confusion. In Luke chapter 24, we read that very early in the morning there were a group of women that were heading off to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus at his grave site. As they were walking there that morning, I believe their minds were filled with questions. Had they been singing on the way, I think one of the hymns that they would have been singing was, "Why? Why did they nail him to Calvary's tree? Why? Tell me, why was it so?" They would have been asking the question, "What are we going to do now? How are we going to live? Who should we turn to, having believed that this Jesus was the expected one?" All the important questions just rambling around in their minds, and all the questions seemingly having no answers. Luke chapter 24 and verse 1 says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre." Now the "they" here in context is found back two verses prior to this in chapter 23, verses 55 and 56. They were women who had followed after the Lord Jesus from Galilee, the northern parts of Israel, down into Jerusalem. They had been there when Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, I need another cup of coffee. Joseph of Arimathea laid that body in the tomb. They knew where it was. They knew the hasty preparations, and they wanted to come back and do a little bit more to honor the one that they had come to love. But the very fact that they were bringing these spices indicated that they believed Jesus would be in the tomb. That's a problem right there, for Jesus had clearly stated that he was going to rise again. In fact, notice up in verse 6 of chapter 24, "He is not here but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you," verse 7, "that he would be crucified and the third day rise again." They didn't believe. They had forgotten those words. But they're coming with all kinds of questions. And they come to the sepulchre. One of the questions that they were asking themselves, in fact, I believe it's the Gospel of Mark, tells us that they were asking, "Who's going to roll away the stone so that we can get in?" And they get there and they find the stone is rolled away. And they entered in, verse 3, "and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout." The word in the original language, the Greek of the New Testament, is the verb diapareo. That sounds kind of neat. A little preposition dia, when it's added to in front of a verb, intensifies things. The root meaning of this preposition means to go through. And it carries the idea of something being thoroughly done. It goes all the way through something. The verb means to be at a loss. So literally translated, this word, they were very much perplexed. They were entirely at a loss for the explanation of what was going on. We put it in modern English, which I'm not sure is English anymore, but the language of the younger folk today, they were totally clueless. Totally. My wife said I wasn't supposed to do that. I couldn't help myself. They didn't have a single explanation of what was going on. "Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, bowed down their faces to the earth," they, that would be these men, actually angels, "said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Don't you remember how he told you as you were following him up in Galilee that he told you these things were going to pass? We forgot. They knew it, but it just wasn't part of the front parts of their minds. It was put in the back of their minds. And they, because of that, didn't have an answer for what was going on. Notice verse 8, though, and they remembered his words. Now all the questions have an answer. Verse 9, and they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which came to pass. If you put the gospel accounts together and trying to come up with an order of events on the resurrecting morning, there are a couple of scenarios that are possible, because each gospel writer gives a little bit different account of what went on. They're just looking at specific certain things, and none of the four give you the total picture, but put them all together and try and harmonize things, and it looks like this is what goes on. There were a bunch of women that went out to the sepulchre that morning. Possibly Mary Magdalene here, being one of the younger women, got there ahead of the rest. And she saw that the stone was already there, and she took off to tell the disciples that he wasn't there. The Gospel of John tells us that she gets there and tells the apostles, and Peter and John take off for the tomb. John gets there first, Peter gets there secondly, but John had stopped at the opening. Peter just kind of right on by. They went in. They see the things as it were. They do not see any angels. They do not have an explanation of what's going on. And consequently, in fact, why don't you turn with me to John chapter 20? I want you to see this so that you know with certainty what's going on here. John chapter 20. Verse 6, then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. But understand what he was believing. The Gospels tell us, in fact, in Mark chapter 16, it says Jesus upbraided them for their unbelief concerning his resurrection. What Peter and John were believing was the report of Mary that, hey, somebody's taken his body and we don't know where they've laid him. And they get in there and they say, well, body's gone. No explanation for what's going on. That's what they believed. Verse 9. Whereas yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. They went their own way back to their house. Mary Magdalene comes along. There's the Lord Jesus. So she sees the angels and so forth. And then she has the resurrection appearance with the Lord Jesus Christ. By this time, the ladies have come to the sepulchre. They have heard the report of the angels. They are on their way to tell the disciples when Jesus himself appears to them. They have an answer. The ladies go back and report to the apostles, but the apostles were unbelieving. In fact, it was pretty sad. The apostles knew not, John 20, the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. The word know here in John chapter 19, that they knew not the Scriptures, is the Greek verb eido. Now, that doesn't mean a whole lot to you until you understand that we get our word video from it. This type of knowledge is knowledge that is gotten by perception. It's not you read a book or you listen to hear something and you gain information that you never knew before. This is knowledge gained by perception. We would say this, now I see what you mean. Well, you heard the words that they spoke before, or you read it in a book or something, but you didn't understand, and all of a sudden the light goes on, and now you understand. They didn't understand the Scriptures that Jesus must rise again. And in fact, and we're going to look at this in our second service this morning as we continue in Luke chapter 24, how they came to faith in the resurrection passage and the importance of that. But let me just say this. Why was it that the apostles were sad all day long and these women come away from the tomb rejoicing? The simple difference is one of them had an understanding of what the Scriptures teach, and the rest of them did not. May I say to you that the Bible has an answer to every problem in life. When we understand what the Bible speaks, what Scripture says, we have an answer to every problem in life. When we apply not biblical principles to the problems that you and I face, we stand there perplexed, totally clueless. Turn over with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. How many times have you been in situations where you say, I just don't understand, I just don't get it, I just don't have an explanation, why did things happen like they're happening? Doesn't make sense to me. Whenever you have said that, I can guarantee you, you have not been able to apply biblical principles to the situation that you're in. Moreover, brethren, I would that you should not be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as all they also lusted, neither be idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur you as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Let me stop there. Let me make three statements and then I'll explain this passage of Scripture. God is always God. Never anything else. Man has always been man. Never anything else. The devil and sin has always been the devil and sin. Never anything else. How does that relate here? Well, from the beginning of time, since sin entered into the world, the devil has been tempting mankind, has been trying to get man away from the will of God to do the will of man, to do the will of Satan. God has always remained faithful. His will has always been perfect. His power has always been complete. His knowledge always infinite, never changed. Man has always been man. There's never been a Superman. But yet there are people who can say, like the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And there are other people who say, I can't figure out how to do anything. What's the difference? Well, here are some of these people of the nation of Israel that had experienced the crossing of the Red Sea. They experienced the mighty hand of God's deliverance. They get out into the wilderness and they said, what in the world are we doing out here? Life isn't going the way we thought it would be going. We thought we were going to this land of milk and honey, and all we've got is this desert around us. It doesn't make sense. And because of that, some of them said, well, let's go this way. And some of them said, let's go this way. Let's do our thing, because God's not making sense to us. The Word of God had an explanation for all those things. The wilderness was in the plan of God. They were going to a land of milk and honey. Problem was, they had come to Kadesh Barnea and they sent out spies into the land, and the spies came back. 10 of them said, well, it's a nice land, but we can't take it because there's giants there. And 2 of them said, we can do it because God is able. It's in the will of God. The Word of God will empower us to solve our problems. Then they turned around and said, we better accept the report of the 10, and they would not follow on with God. Now, all these things, verse 11, happened unto them for examples for us. Why can they be examples? And remember, if this was written, 1 Corinthians was written somewhere before AD 60, probably around AD 55. The crossing of the Red Sea happened in 1445. 5 BC. So we're talking 1450 years. Well, 1500 years had transpired between the crossing of the Red Sea and Paul's writing of this. How could these things still be examples to us? Because God is still God, man is still man, Satan and sin are still Satan and sin. And the Word of God, oh, by the way, still the Word of God. And it still has the answers. And almost 2,000 years after the Apostle Paul wrote this, God is still God, man is still man, Satan and sin are still Satan and sin, and the Bible is still the Bible. And it still has the answers to life. The difference between Mary Magdalene and the other Marys and the women that came down from Galilee and how they were able to rejoice on that morning of the resurrection and the apostles. As one said, I know what God's Word teaches. And the others couldn't see how it worked out. My friends, when we take the Word of God and we apply it to all the questions in life, we have answers. Now, how do we do that practically? Well, if the Bible has examples, as 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, there has to be some type of similar situation found in Scripture that will address your problem. Obviously, your car breaks down. Well, you're not going to find a passage of Scripture where it talks about cars breaking down. Now, the only thing that I can think of that Scripture even comes close is on the day of Pentecost, they were all in one accord. My wife didn't tell me to say that, not to say that one either, but if she would have, I should have taken it. But there are principles of Scripture for every aspect of life. And all you need to do is find one that's consistent with your problem, and the Word of God will have an answer to it. And it will change your questions into answers. And your answers will be that which brings happiness. Let's pray. Father, help us in this case not to be like your apostles, who went practically a whole day not believing the Word of God. But help us to be quick like Mary and the rest of these women, that even when we put to the back of our minds what the Word of God teaches, that we might recall it and find answers to the problems of life, find a God who is still God and a Bible that is still the Word of God and powerful to enable us to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Lord, make us good students of Scripture. Father, may Your Word not only enter through the eye gate or through the ear gate, but make it to our hearts that we might be doers of the Word and not just hearers only. Father, refresh our souls, revive our souls this morning with these words, that as we leave here today, we might go out rejoicing that God is still God and His Word still has the answers to all of life's problems. We praise Thee in Jesus' name. Amen.